Welcome to Divine Feminine Rising with Mez Deline. I'm Mez Deline, and my intention with this podcast is to entertain, educate, and illuminate as I share the power and magic of the Divine Feminine. Thank you so much for being here. I'm grateful for your time and attention. In this episode, I wanted to talk about equality. I think the women's movement was great, but it partly missed the mark. Women are equal to men, but we're not the same as men. I once said this to a feminist friend, and she flipped out. This was back in the early 80s. Of course we're the same as men, she insisted. I tried to explain what I meant, but she didn't want to hear it. All she heard was I was saying that women weren't the same as men. In her mind, I was wrong, and she was shocked that I didn't agree with her. She thought I was an enlightened one, right? So I know that if you're listening to my podcast, you probably get it, that men and women are equal, but not the same. But back in the 70s, probably the 60s starting, and the 80s, a lot of women thought like my friend did. So the women's rights movement was all about competing with men. It was about proving that women could do anything men could do. Women started pumping weights to prove they were as strong as men. They started wearing suit jackets and ties and carrying briefcases. And so businesswomen were emulating businessmen, not just in how they dressed, but how they acted in board meetings and so forth. And the list goes on. But when I say that men and women are equal, I mean that women are no better or worse than men, no higher or lower, and that we should all be treated the same, have the same rights, and have the same opportunities. Women should get paid the same for the same jobs. We should be able to work in any profession we want and buy our own homes, etc. But I'd like to see us reach that by using our own divinely feminine power, not by trying to be like men. I was alive and well in the 70s when women couldn't have their own credit card, couldn't buy their own home, couldn't deny their husband sex, couldn't serve in the military except for being nurses and support staff, and could be fired from a job for being pregnant. They were also paid less for doing the same job as a man was doing. When I was a child, I was considered my father's property. And then when I got married, I was considered my husband's property. So we've really come a long way in the world as women, but we still, I feel, have a long way to go. The ERA, which means Equal Rights Amendment, was a constitutional amendment that was first proposed in 1923. Its purpose was to eliminate sexual discrimination and to guarantee equal legal rights for all Americans, regardless of sex. That's over 100 years ago, people. It didn't pass then, and it still hasn't passed. Now, I have to say that for some reason, I thought it had. I'm not into politics. I don't follow that kind of thing. But I've heard of the ERA most of my life, and I thought that it was part of the Constitution. It is not. In the 70s, it was reintroduced and approved by Congress and the Senate, but then it's sent to the states for ratification. And the requirement was that at least 38 states ratified it before it could become a constitutional amendment. So that didn't happen. And to this day, we still have no constitutional amendment giving women equal rights to men. Unbelievable. You can look up which states didn't ratify. It's mostly the South, a bit of the Midwest, Arizona, and Utah. And to be perfectly honest, it horrifies me that not only do women not have equal rights to men, but we've recently lost some of the rights we fought so hard for during the women's movement during the 60s and 70s. Currently, women can now own, they can have credit cards, they can buy their own homes, they can accuse their husbands of rape in most states, but we no longer have rights over our own bodies in a lot of states. And I think this last sentence is another whole episode. But anyway, when I was a kid, women weren't allowed to do certain jobs. Women were teachers, they were waitresses and stewardesses and nurses and maybe a few other things. And that was it. We do have more rights in the workforce now, but that really goes both ways. I don't think most people think about it that way. But when I was a kid, I only saw one male teacher, my sixth grade teacher, who was amazing. I never met a male nurse or a restaurant server or an airline steward. There was no such thing. And now men do jobs that used to be viewed as women-only jobs, and women can do jobs that were once for men only. So you can see it. It went both ways, and I think that's very cool. But I think people just think that, well, now women can be in any field, and they forget, oh, that men can too now. And so I think that both male and female have made some progress in different ways. Back in the 60s, if women were in the military, it was only as a nurse or support staff, like being secretary. And my friend, who's a veteran from the 60s, one day we were talking about makeup for some reason, and she said, I've never worn makeup except for when I was in the military. And I thought, well, that's weird. And I said, what do you mean? Why did you wear it in the military? In my mind, I thought that'd be the last place I'd be wearing makeup, right? And she said, well, when she was in the military, they were taught how to properly apply makeup. And they were told that the women were there for the soldiers' morale. And so it was important that they wear makeup and be pleasant so that they had a positive influence on the men. Married or pregnant women weren't allowed to enlist at that time. And if they were enlisted and they got pregnant, they were discharged. She told me stories about a couple of people she made friends with during boot camp who they got discharged because one was pregnant and I think the other one was married and or got married after enlisting. And so anyway, times have changed. In 2013, it was decided that women would be allowed to serve in combat. And in fact, the military is one of the few places that women are paid the same as men when they do the same job. So that's cool. However, statistics show that overall, women are paid at least 16% less than men, even doing the same job for the same amount of time. They have the same experience, and they're paid 16% less. That is so not okay. So anyway, I'd like to come back to my first statement. The women's movement was great, but it missed the mark. It's true that the movement helped us gain rights, but like I said, we did it by competing with men, by trying to be like men. And it just felt like to me that women didn't just join the workforce, they also joined patriarchy. And by that, I mean they played by men's rules instead of by women's rules or creating their own way of doing things. And it's been an uphill battle ever since. I have a little bright spot I wanted to tell you about. I recently read an article in NPR about a woman named Monica Harwell. And in 1991, she was the first woman to climb utility poles for the company she worked for. The first time she climbed up, she got to the top of the pole and she was hanging 50 feet above the ground and she started painting her nails. And when I read that, I thought, I just kind of shook my head. Are you kidding me? But when people asked her about it, she said she wanted them to know It was a woman up there, and she wouldn't let them paint her into a corner. I loved this story. I loved how this woman did a job that had only been done by men, but instead of acting like a man, she maintained her femininity. I just love that. So when I say women are equal but not the same, there are the obvious things that women, you know, like, for instance, women can grow new humans inside of their bodies, and they can feed those tiny humans with their own bodies. And personally, on a side note, I think that alone makes us even more powerful than men. And if all the women in the world except one died, the human race would die. If all the men in the world died except one, the human race would continue. Anyway, I digress. Sorry. What I'd like to see is for women to take it to the next level and be strong in our femininity instead of working hard to be masculine in order to do certain jobs or gain certain rights. And it's true that our skeletal and muscular structures aren't innately as strong as men, but that's just the physical aspects of ourselves. So what I'm talking about is our intellectual and emotional aspects. And I'll give you an example from my own life. My husband at the time bought a big freezer, and it wasn't a chest freezer. It was an upright one, and it was big, and it was delivered, and they set it in the driveway, and it stayed in the driveway for weeks, and weeks turned into months. And I would ask my husband, when are you going to put that thing in the garage? And he'd go, oh, I'll get around to it, right? And so one day I was tired of looking at it. It was in my way. It was in the driveway. It was ridiculous. So I moved it in the garage. When he came home from work, he said, what man did you get to move that for you into the garage? And he was all huffy, right? And I said, I moved it myself. And he said, no, I want to know who moved that for you. And I said, I moved it myself. And what I'd done is I'd kind of pushed it up a little bit. It wasn't full, so, you know, it was heavy, but it wasn't that heavy. And then I pivoted it a tiny bit, and I rocked it, rocked and pivoted and rocked and pivoted. And it took me a while, but I got it into the back of the garage. And so I explained to him how I did it, and he just looked at me like, whoa, right? And so I didn't think the same as him. For him, it was about brute force, right? I didn't have that brute force. I couldn't just like pick up a freezer and move it. And so I had to use my brain instead of my brawn. So when I was younger, I asked why women weren't allowed in combat, why they weren't allowed to be bosses, because at the time I never saw any women that were in charge of anything. And the answer was always, women are too emotional to do certain jobs. And I always knew that was baloney, but it wasn't until I was an adult that I had experiential evidence to back up my belief. And what I observed is that, at least in my life, men were much more likely to be ruled by emotions than women, and usually, sadly, that emotion was anger. So another example of that same husband. The reason we bought the freezer was because we needed to store more blackberries for our restaurant because we made a lot of blackberry pies and stuff. And our restaurant was very successful. We were in a really small town and everybody loved my husband's food. He was a great cook and he was very friendly and everybody loved him. But once in a while, he would get mad about something and decide to make a change. For instance, we had outside seating for smokers, and one day he got really mad at a smoker and decided he was going to eliminate the outdoor seating. This was one incident out of many with him, and each time I would ask him, are you making this decision based on what is best for the business, or are you making it out of emotion? And he always had to concede that, yes, indeed, he was making it from an emotional place, not from a place that was best for the business. I've seen that a lot where men run more on emotions than women do. I think that's partly because, you know, as women, we've been kind of suppressed and oppressed. And like for me, especially in my life, and there was a lot of abuse and everything. So a lot of downsides about that. But one of the upsides is I learned to control my emotions, right? I can control my emotions. I can be epically calm during the most traumatic storm. And because of that, I've been able to help, like, for instance, being the first one on the scene of an accident and people pretty much mangled, and staying calm and being able to help these people. So sometimes I think about that. I think that my life experiences, which were really hard, were also a blessing in disguise in some ways. I think that women are seen as more emotional because women cry more easily than men, but that's not the truth. We are not more emotional because we cry more. That's societal conditioning. Men are taught it's not okay to cry. Women are taught it's okay to cry. So men are conditioned too. It's not just women being conditioned, but we're conditioned that it's okay to express tears, but it's not okay for men. And so it makes us look like we're more emotional, but we're not. Men are feeling the same feelings. They just aren't expressing it. So I feel like as women, our emotional strength is often overlooked, and our emotional passion and compassion has such a depth of power that it's world-changing, or it can be world-changing. So empathy is a superpower that women also have that I believe is overlooked far too often. Empathy is the ability to feel what others feel, and it gives us an insight into people and situations that non-empathetic people miss. It helps us be more compassionate when we can tune into the feelings of others, and it helps us see situations more clearly. When you have empathy and someone walks in the room and you just feel right away that something's wrong and you say, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine." Or, "Is something wrong?" "No, nothing's wrong." Well, when you have empathy, you know that something is wrong. So it's really hard to lie to someone who has empathy, because empathetic people can feel what's real. Intuition is another superpower that women have. And the dictionary describes intuition as the ability to understand something without the need for conscious reasoning. And I like that description, and I feel that it's true. But another way I say it is that intuition is an inner knowing, or even an inner voice or inner guidance. So an example of that in my life, one day my daughter was really young. I think she was 3, and she's sitting on the front seat of the car. That was before car seats. And we were in a Volkswagen bus, which means there's no like front end, the motor's in the back. And so it's just kind of like, you're right there. No buffer in front of you. And we were driving home one night, and we lived out in the country, and I was going around the curve, and I just had this instinct, this inner knowing, that intuition to stop. I just felt like I had to stop right now. And I stopped in the middle of the road, and I thought, why am I stopping? Why do I feel like I have to stop? And around the corner, this car came, and it was probably going 80 miles an hour, and it missed me by an inch because it came into my lane as it came around the curve. And we would have been in a head-on collision, and we would not have survived, because there was just no way we could have survived. And so that is an example of intuition. Of course, I always counsel people, listen to your intuition. And it doesn't always make sense to the conscious mind. It really doesn't. I mean, that did not make sense. It's late at night. Stop now in the middle of the road. Crazy. To me, that felt crazy. But it was so compelling, I stopped. And so it doesn't always make sense to the conscious mind. It's a different type of truth. And I think of it as a divine truth. So then once you listen to your intuition, I mean, I got the message, stop. But then you have to decide whether or not you want to follow your guidance. Any guidance that you receive, it's still your decision whether or not to follow it. Thank goodness I followed that, right? And so I always counsel people to pay attention, because then you get to know, you get more in sync with your intuition and your inner knowing. And then as you listen, it becomes more validated. So I'll tell you what, just that one incident, which happened, you know, over 40 years ago, really helped me understand what intuition was and how important it was for me to listen to it. Another feminine attribute that is really underrated is gentleness. I believe gentleness can be as strong or stronger than aggression. I've seen it in my own life where people can be screaming in my face and I just stay in my gentle compassion and loving expression. And they are just diffused. If I responded with aggression, then it would just be like pouring gasoline on a fire, right? But I respond with gentle compassion and love. And not only are they diffused, but they feel seen and heard. And so it's really a powerful thing to understand that gentleness is just as powerful or more powerful than aggression. So, can't help but chuckle, because there's even an Aesop's fable about this. And Aesop, dude, he was a slave and they let him free because he told such great stories. At least that's the myth around him, right? And he lived 2,500 years ago. So these stories have been passed down, and you know, they're kids' stories pretty much. And I wanted to end my episode with this Aesop's fable, and it's called The North Wind and the Sun. The North Wind and the Sun had a fight about which one of them was stronger. While they were disputing with a lot of bluster, a traveler passed along the road beneath them, wrapped up in a cloak. So the sun says to the wind, "Hey, I have an idea. Let's agree that the strongest one of us can strip that traveler of his cloak." And the north wind was like, "Okay, sounds good to me." He was very sure of himself. And just sent a cold, howling blast at the traveler. And so with that first blast of wind, the traveler wrapped his cloak closer around him, right? And the harder the wind blew, the tighter he held it to himself. And the north wind kept blowing harder and harder, but the traveler just kept holding his coat against him tightly. And so then it was the sun's turn. And the sun began to shine. And his beams were gentle and pleasantly warm after that bitter cold of the north wind. And the traveler unfastened his cloak, you know, and let it hang more freely because he was warming up, right? And then the sun's rays grew warmer and warmer. And the man took off his cap. And then he took off his cloak, and the sun was the winner, right? So the moral of this story that they tell children is kindness and gentleness prevail over violence and force. So I didn't know about this story when I came to my own belief around that, and I found this story when I was teaching second grade 3 years ago, and it was like, hey, validation. Gentleness can be stronger than aggression. So anyway, I just feel like the story is a great representation of that. I believe that women have the power to create and manifest positive change by using love, empathy, compassion, intuition, and gentle persuasion, and that those powers are divinely feminine assets that can heal humanity. I really believe this. I really believe that as women, we need to step up to the plate and to embrace our own divinely feminine power and use it for the good of all. I hope I've given you some good food for thought today, and that you take some time to look inside of yourself and really see how powerful you truly are, because you are more powerful than you can imagine. And I love you so much. Want to thank you for joining me today. My mission is to help bring back the balance of the divine feminine to spirituality. Please share my podcast with anyone who might be interested in the divine feminine and personal empowerment. And if you'd like to connect with me further, feel free to reach out. You can find me at mezdaleen.com, Divine Feminine Rising with mezdaleen.com, Mezdaleen Bliss, or Mezdaleen on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. And also, please join my mailing list if you'd like to receive my newsletter, which I haven't actually started, but I will soon. Allow the light of your love to shine. Be the change. Lead the way. And always remember, your light of love is a needed gift to the world that only you can give.